Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
A diva is leaving the WWE. The tag team tournament has been announced, and we now have a new TV champion. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
To another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. Here is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Beth Phoenix is leaving the WWE. Why is this such big news, Aaron?
It's really not that big a news. I mean, but we do cover women leaving, promotions from time to time. In particular, she is really kind of the biggest person, I think, in the diva division. Like, I think Beth Phoenix, and then I think Layla, and after that it's a, you know, Eve. I think Kelly's still there. I'm not even sure.
Who knows what's going on with Kelly? She's there, then she's not. She's there, then she's not. Who knows?
And I think isn't that everyone in the WWE diva division?
Pretty much.
That's the problem. That really is the problem, you know.
The problem is that they just don't get any love. So,
you know, and I think that the big thing is, you know, is that TNA and WWE, you know, there's rumors out there that they're not fans of women's wrestling.
I know that's the weird part, because I actually have been digging it more when they actually have the women who can wrestle out there. It's great. But when they're just a quote unquote diva, I don't like that. I like to see women who can wrestle. That's my thing. And they do have a couple. But with Beth Phoenix leaving, it's like, what do you do with her? You know, what can you do? That's just messed up. And TNA, I mean, we saw that, you know, Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, and Mickie James is now taking time off. But the rumor is because Pritchard just doesn't like women wrestling.
Yeah, and I actually believe that. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not a big fan of women's wrestling either. I think that it's a sideshow attraction for the most part. I'm not saying that they're not athletic and they don't put on some good moves, but you know, you watch WWE and it's just you can't even watch it. And over at TNA, it is a little bit better, but I would use it as something in between matches. You know, I wouldn't use it as we got to focus on the women's division right now. It'd be more like, here's a little small thing about it.
And, oh, wow.
That's the way I would run it personally.
Well, it's almost like, wow, look at that great match by these two guys who are mid-carders. Let's have the women match. Okay, now let's have Triple H wrestle. That's what it basically is. And speaking of TNA, something big came out. If it's a taped DVD or tape pay-per-view now, TNA talent can't be on it, which is huge. I can't believe they actually said that this can't happen. That means no, if they're going to want to wrestle for, well, they can't wrestle for ROH anyways, but if it's a CZW, if it's PCW, any of those other indie promotions, if it's going to be taped, can't be on it.
And why is that a big deal, Andy?
Because a lot of guys, they make extra money from this. And now that they can't do it, it's really, to me, it's a huge deal. You're not going to be able to see, like, AJ Styles wrestling for this promotion, or, you know, it's going to be hard to have certain guys come over, basically. They can't be at certain shows if they're going to be taped. It is a big deal.
I actually wish that TNA would have a closer relationship with Ring of Honor like they did in the past. I think that it would be nice to possibly, you know, kind of do a switch, you know, be like, look, hey, we just got done using Christopher Daniels and we don't have a use for him anymore. Would you be interested in trading? You know, like, here's Christopher Daniels. You give us like Tyler Black, you know, like that.
The WWE did something similar with ECW at one point, which actually worked out good for both sides, actually.
That'd be nice, because I mean, Ring of Honor could use the help, and TNA, I mean, they could use the help too, because they could give their talent time off. And when you have people who leave for a little while that are fan favorites and they come back, they actually are more popular. AJ Styles leaves for 2 months and comes back, he's more popular.
That's actually a great point, because you can it's kind of like territories back in the day. Like, you know, Ric Flair would be over in this territory, and then when he's kind of sizzle out, you bring him somewhere else, and he's they're back at number one. You could do something similar with TNA and Ring of Honor. I wouldn't be surprised if the WWE eventually does this. They put a secondary promotion out there. It's actually one thing I was thinking about the other day is I wouldn't mind seeing MVP come back because I haven't seen him for so long and he hasn't wrestled really in the US. It's all Japan stuff. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back for like 6 months and then he can go somewhere else for a little bit, come back in a year. Bam, there you go. That's why the WWE should almost have another real wrestling organization, but only.
Well, they do. I think it's called SmackDown. So. So, Andy, SummerSlam buys are up from 311,000 to 350,000 this year. Now, do you think it's because of CM Punk, or do you think it's because of Triple H Brock Lesnar?
It wasn't Triple H Brock Lesnar, but that's what the credit's going to go to. It's because of the CM Punk Cena stuff. I actually am digging it. I just think that eventually you got to stop it. You know, you don't want to, you know, ruin it right away. It's still going good. We continue what we're doing. Bam. You know, it can actually be a big moneymaker eventually.
And I actually disagree with you. I do believe it is because of Triple H Brock Lesnar. But I think it's mostly because of Brock Lesnar that the reason why the buys are up. Because you hear that UFC fighter Brock Lesnar is in the main event of SummerSlam. And he's taking on Triple H. And the buildup to the match itself, I mean, you know, we had talked about how Triple H could probably win this, and it's because it's Triple H, you know, and I think that that may have created a few extra buys in that department. I will say that I liked that feud when it ended. I didn't like it when it was going on. There are feuds that you enjoy while they are going on where you're like, you know, I'll give it Punk Cena when that was going on. Was great, and then the ending was even better. It really was, like, from last year. There are a few others that I can't think of right off the top of my head, but, you know, the Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money. Great while it's going on. Like, it's like, oh, this is awesome. This is amazing, and, you know, and then it ends, and it's still good. That one was only good because it ended. Because you knew what the outcome was, so you can look back on it and say, oh, well, Brock Lesnar's going to win, so, oh, this is cool right here leading up. So I think it's because of Lesnar and, you know, obviously Cena Punk is always nice too, but I think it's mostly because of Lesnar.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you on that one. Let's move on to the WWE programming for this week. So Cena and CM Punk feud is continuing on. And, Cena, of course, had elbow surgery, but I can't figure out why Mick Foley got involved at all, and then all of a sudden, the last thing that ended Raw.
Why don't we talk about the first part first? Okay, Cena and Punk, their feud. I mean, that was the focus. You know, they had the opening segment, they had the ending segment, and then segments in between. I like this feud. I enjoy it right now. I think that it is entertaining. I think it's actually better that Cena's injured, honestly, because then they have to come up with something different. And I'm not saying that it's good that Lawler had his heart attack. Of course, that's not good. It's good that he's out of the picture, though. I think that if Lawler was still there, Cena has the surgery, then Punk's going to be wrestling Lawler for the next 2 weeks. You know, for what reason? You know, what reason? You know, something stupid. So they have to come up with a better storyline. With that said, they're getting way too much airtime. Way too much airtime. Oh, open the show, end the show. That's fine. That's fine. Throw a little thing up there at the 1 hour mark and 2 hour mark. Punk's going to do something at the end. You know, Cena's going to be at the end. That's all you have to do. You don't have to have information and you don't have to have them involved in the show throughout it. And I hated that they did that.
Yeah, that's right. They did do it almost every hour. There was something going on with them. That's right. I forgot about that. And then, you know, of course, like Mick Foley gets involved and then, you know, Cena pushes it.
And yeah, like Mick Foley. What did you think about the segment with Mick Foley? Because that was another segment, you know, like it was Punk and Heyman feuding with AJ Lee. And then Mick Foley comes out and then it's Punk feuding with Mick Foley. So what did you think of the Foley segment?
It was OK. I mean, it's Mick Foley. It's nice to see him, but why? You know, why is he? You know, I think I know why, because they're having the backup plan where almost CM Punk could wrestle Foley if it's needed. But it's also, you're bringing up the nostalgia fact that at Hell in the Cell, he went off the top of the cage, and he also went through the cage at one point, so it's bringing up those memories.
Yeah.
So Hell in the Cell start, I think that's going to get some momentum going. But what I didn't understand was why at the very end of Raw, the Titantron goes black, but the TV people see Ryback. He gets involved all of a sudden. What was the point of this? Why is Ryback getting injected into this?
Well, I mean, you missed the point, though, where Punk, you know, him and Cena had their altercation.
Right.
And Cena hits Punk with the lead pipe.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about. Yeah, that's right. Hits him with the lead pipe, goes in the back.
And then Punk goes to the back, and then he attacks McFoley. Mm-hmm. And then he turns around, and McFoley wasn't there anymore. Instead, it was Ryback. And as you mentioned, the TV audience saw this, but not the crowd at the arena. So you would typically hear, no matter who it is, really, you would hear cheers. And there was dead silence. And my thought was, wow, he is not over at all. Like, oh my, like he just beat Miz that earlier that night, not for the IC title, of course, because, mm-hmm. you know, don't want to do that. But I like, really? Like, what's going on? And then, of course, it came out that it was, wasn't for the arena.
Yeah, it's really weird that they did that. I have no idea why they did it, but oh well. But another thing,
you know, I do want to stay on the subject for just a little bit longer. So Cena Punk. You know, it's planned for Hell in a Cell. They're saying the backup plan is if Punk can't take on Cena, he's going to take on Ryback. Do you think it's a smart idea to push Ryback that early?
Really? Ryback? I think that's ridiculous. Why would you have him this soon? It doesn't make sense.
You had brought up something months ago now, probably 2 months ago, and you said that they're slow burning, you know, and that's something that I had said too that I liked and that you said you liked in particular. And I agree. You know, I agree that the slow burn was the right way to go. I actually think him taking on Miz was not the right thing to do yet for the IC title. I mean, or non-title match, whatever. I don't think Miz was the right opponent yet. I think Miz is somebody you have him face in a month or two. You know, have him stay with Jack Swagger, you know, have him still take on these guys that are lower mid-carders and then work your way up to a mid-card title like an IC title or US title even. I think that they might be pushing him too quickly because they're out of stars.
Yeah, I see that the fact that they're out of stars, but, you know, maybe it's time. You know, maybe it's time to have him pushed. I'm just not sure on this.
I disagree, but Andy, let's move on to the Hell in a Cell World Heavyweight Championship match. Big Show is taking on Sheamus. What do you think of this?
Big Show just came back all of a sudden, beat up, you know, Brodus Clay and Tensai for some reason. Just came back, and then all of a sudden, now he's taking on Sheamus in Hell in a Cell. I kind of dig it, but Big Show's going to lose. He's just going to put Sheamus over.
Yeah.
And I don't get that, but, you know, good for Big Show for being a team player. But if he wins the title, I would be shocked, completely shocked.
Yeah, I would be too. They need the title off Sheamus, though. I mean, he's very boring and bland now. Him as a face, even him as a heel suck. Honestly, Sheamus's character, they have not done a very good job with. The fact that he will win almost every match he is in, and that's throughout his career. He would constantly win. As a heel, he would win. You know, and it's like, why? Like, why do that? Sheamus is allowed to lose. You can have a face lose matches and not have it hurt his credibility. And if, in fact, at house shows, yes, faces typically win. That's fine. On live TV, though, have him lose a match or two. It's not bad, but
it actually improves, I think, the character.
I agree.
Yeah. So the WWE is actually doing some love right now. They're going to have a tag team tournament to find out who's going to be the number one contender. Kind of weird that they're all of a sudden giving the tag team division love.
They're giving it a ton of love.
But the other thing also is that it's helping other superstars who are kind of like, oh, I just need, you know, I need like a week off or something like that to rest. As a tag team, it could probably take 2 or 3 weeks and then you're back to normal and you can go back to single stuff. But I'm glad to see that they're giving some love to these guys.
Well, and, you know, last week's SmackDown, the focus was entirely on the tag division. This week, they focused a lot on it. They announced the 8 teams involved in the tournament who will be crowned to take on Daniel Bryan and Kane at Hell in a Cell. And, you know, they announced who the first eight teams, you know, and who's facing who. And it's kind of like, we kind of know who's going to win the first round. Now, the second round will be the interesting one. Second and third round, obviously, will be the most interesting. I like this, and I love tournaments in wrestling. I really do, because you can create a ton of drama. And I wish that they would do something like this every October. Say we're holding every October is the tag team tournament, you know, and do that. Every May is going to be the singles tournament, and the winner takes on, you know, the IC title holder or something like that. You know, doing that and having a set date and sticking to that date makes the titles mean something and makes winning that tournament mean something too, even if you don't win the title. You know, winning the tag thing will help.
It's like having the Great American Bash United States Championship title. You have Hell in the Cell, you can start having tag team. You know, it's almost like Bound for Glory in a way, how they have like the tournament and you know it's happening and it takes this long to get here. You could do something similar with each title. Make it mean something. Every other month, have something, because there's that many freaking titles, so you might as well do it. But that would be something the WWE, you know, it would be kind of cool if they actually, you know, started doing stuff like that.
Well, kudos to them, though, for the tag tournament. This is something long time coming. I'm very glad that they're doing it. And I cannot wait to see what happens.
Yep,
let's move on to our sponsors.
All right. HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by a day and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out www.shop.com. Go through Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you'll see a little banner up there. Click that. If you spend more than $70, you'll get $10 off your order at WWE Shop. Also, make sure you check out High Spots from our website as well. And it's great stuff over there. Lots of DVDs and also IPPVs as well. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So we had a three-way match with tag participants. And who were they, Aaron?
Yeah, so it was Christopher Daniels and Kazarian and the AJ Styles and Kurt Angle and Hernandez and Chavo. So one member from each team faced off in the three-way. And I'm assuming that they're going to do the exact same thing with the other participants next week and then do, you know, two-on-two and one-on-ones and things like that. Obviously, it's one of those things where you can do – you can have fun with this. And so, you know, having this kickoff, it was exciting. You had some pretty, you know, upper mid-card tier people in this match. So it's nice for them to kick off Impact in that way. So I was digging it, and it makes me excited for that match a little bit more. But, Andy, I think probably the biggest news of the week.
D-Von's gone?
D-Von is gone. They vacated the TV title yesterday. Wednesday. And they announced that there are going to be four participants in the TNA tag – or TNA TV title tourney. That's a lot of T's in there.
Yes, it is.
Like that? Yeah. So, and originally, like Magnus was going to be in there, and then Samoa Joe was like, look, I'm the only person here that's worth a damn. And so Hogan said, you know what? How about Joe, you take on Anderson for the TV title? I actually don't like this.
What?
Joe won the title. That's fine. And against Anderson, another great competitor. That's fine. Have a tournament for this. You know, have the focus of this Impact be about the TV title and how prestigious it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not you two wrestle. Yeah, you two. You two do it. No, you do not do that. You have an eight-man tag tournament. Or eight-man tag. I'm still on the tag tourney from WWE. You have an eight-man tourney, and then you have the winner crowned that night. And it's not that hard to do because you kick it off with a match. You're like, immediately there's a match going on, a five-minute match. You quick get that over with, you know. Go to another, you know, a five-minute match, another five. You can easily kick this off and get it out of the way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they didn't do that. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, it's really interesting though that they gave it to Samoa Joe, but I gotta say it's nice to see a title on him, and plus he wrestles just about every week, so we'll see it. We might see it defended every week now.
And he does legitimize the title, but I just really wish they would have had a tournament, a real tournament for it. Two-man tournament is called a match.
Yeah, if you have like a eight-person tournament would actually be really cool. Have that go through all the way through Impact. Have that, you know, main event be for the TV title.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way they should have done. So we got to talk about what is going on with TNA and how are they actually building up the Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries feud that's going on. Do you think it's focused more on Austin Aries trying to be heel, or is it, you know, like, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think that it is focused a lot on that right now. I think that they're trying to show a more heelish side to Austin Aries. They're honestly, I hate to do the mirror comparison because I'm sure they had this planned from the beginning, but you know, they have it planned out. It's very similar to Punk's transformation. And that's one thing I don't like. I hate to say, but I think it's time for Austin Aries to drop the title.
I know. It's almost like they see what the WWE is doing with Punk, and they're like trying to mimic the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's working. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work at all.
No, I think that Hardy should win the title at Bound for Glory, and I think that I think that Austin Aries needs to drop the title.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not to Hardy, have him drop it the next pay-per-view. You know, if he doesn't drop it then. I think that Aries is kind of his run has been fine,
mm-hmm.
but he's the type of person where he doesn't need to have the title for months and months at a time. Rude's run was fine too, you know, but he could last a longer time. Aries needs to have a shorter run.
Yeah, and I don't want him to actually win. Like, I don't want Jeff Hardy to win the title. I don't think he should. But I think
really?
The next person should win it. Whoever Austin Aries plays or goes against, I think that should be the next guy. But who? Who do you have actually with the title? I don't know yet.
Well, I wanted Samoa Joe in there, but that didn't happen. But Andy, I want to talk about our weekly topic, which is about Impact finishers and wrestling. So when I say Impact finishers, what I'm talking about is like the best example, Big Show's WMD, mm-hmm. his punch, knockout punch. Not like CM Punk's Go to Sleep or John Cena's Attitude Adjustment, not that type of stuff, but a move where it can really be done right then and there. It can be done literally at the very beginning of the match, and it's also just like a normal move, you know? Best example, like I said, Big Show's WMD. And are there any other ones that like kind of come to mind?
Honorable mention that's not on our list, Diamond Cutter.
That's not an Impact finisher, or that's not an Impact finisher though.
You don't consider that I think no, it is.
That is a cutter. That is a normal move. What I'm talking about is a punch.
Oh, you're talking about okay. I see what you're saying. I was thinking more of surprise move, like, you know,
an elbow, you know, no, not surprise. Every move could be a surprise move, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about these moves that are like, that's a really a very, very normal move. I mean, not even a move. That's just a hit. Mm-hmm. You hit the guy with an elbow, you know, and Wade Barrett in particular recently, he used to do the wasteland where he put you over his shoulders, mm-hmm. you know, and the fireman's carry and then just threw you down. Not that impressive, but, you know, whatever.
A simple back bump. I mean.
Right. Exactly. His new move is an elbow to the face.
I don't get it, dude. Why?
You know,
I don't like that move. For him, I don't think it's good.
I think I look back and there's one Impact move that I look at that doesn't bother me as much. And it's Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music.
Yep.
And the only reason it doesn't bother me is because you have this build up to it. And the kick itself is a more specialized kick. Big Show's WMD is a punch to the face, you know? I mean, the clothesline is a little bit better, you know? It's a lot better. So I don't know. I mean, I see moves like that, and it kind of makes me worry because they're actually putting these into people's finishers. Sheamus has the bicycle kick. Big Show has the WMD. Wade Barrett has the elbow, you know? Like... Are you going to put these moves for everybody now? I mean, Kofi Kingston has that Trouble in Paradise, which is a roundabout kick, you know?
A spinning roundhouse, if you want to call it that. Or a jumping spinning roundhouse, if that's what you want to call it.
What do you think, though, in terms of wrestling today? What do you think about using these moves as finishers?
You know, it depends on the person. Like, I like Big Show, okay, I agree with it. Wade Barrett elbow, I'm still on the fence on that. Sheamus bicycle kick, don't like it. JBL's clothesline, though, I do dig. for something about that, because it always seemed like he'd hit, you'd hear that big slap and the guy would go down and just look vicious every time it was done. But it's a simple move, simple bump, but it looks devastating. To me, I guess that would be the one that I think is the best impact finisher. Sweet Chin Music is good. Don't get me wrong. I like that. But the problem was that everyone in WCW started using it, and it wasn't impactful. And then we just saw it recently. Actually, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We saw it done a bunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it lose its, draw, if you want to say that? Don't know.
You know, I got to say, I actually disagree with you about Big Show's. I think that one's the worst of them all, honestly. I think it's a punch to the face. And I'm not saying that he's not a big guy, but it's a punch. He should realistically be able to do that immediately in a match. He should literally, because the guy's right there, so he can just punch him. I mean, he has his hands right there, you know? It's not like going for the choke slam where you have to grab them, pick them up, and throw them down. You know, people can get out of that. A punch? I mean, he grapples him, you know? Like, he grabs onto the person. He bear hugs them. He should be able to WMD them immediately. And I think that's the move I hate the most out of all of them. I gotta say, Sheamus's bicycle kick, while I think it's a stupid finisher, I think it's an all right, like, signature move. In fact, I wish he would use that only as his signature and use the razor's edge as his finishing move. That's the one I liked that he did the most.
I haven't seen him use the razor's edge in a long time, actually.
I know. I don't know, like, what happened. I don't know why they took it away from him, but that was his normal move. And his white noise that he uses, which is a finisher in Japan, use that as a finisher, you know? That should be your finisher. Not that the bicycle kick. How is a bicycle kick more devastating than white noise? Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So that's the impact finishers in wrestling that, you know, for our weekly topic. Good one. I did dig it, Aaron. Really good job. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMarkHit6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.